interview with the foreman, final draft for iPad when self-checkout goes wrong, Apple executive shuffle, and an iPad 3G tip. It's Wednesday, August 29th, 2012, and Thursday, August 30th, 2012. This is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWeek. As you just heard, today's show will cover both today and tomorrow. I have a full day of work ahead of me tomorrow, and will be unable to record another episode for you. Today's show will be both today and for tomorrow. I'll be back Friday. First up today is a rather interesting interview with the jury foreman in the Apple v. Samsung lawsuit. The 15-minute interview covers a wide range of topics. Some of my favorite bits here is that no one on the jury actually owns an iPhone. The foreman himself is a decided Windows user that has made a choice not to use any Apple products. He noted that Android itself did not infringe and that it was Samsung's copycat implementation of Android that did. He also called kind of shenanigans on Samsung's response to the verdict and that Samsung's single-mindedness to look at just a rounded rectangle as false, and that it was the holistic approach of stealing that got Samsung in trouble, from software to hardware and just the whole, it's basically a copy of an iPhone thing that got him in trouble. Anyways, lots of great tidbits in this interview. The video is linked to in the show notes that and can be found at iWakePodcast.com. I did have some trouble streaming it as Bloomberg, who is hosting the video, seems to be getting quite a bit of traffic from this. Now, let's move on to some app news. The first one may surprise you, but the Apple TV has a new app. It appeared on pretty much everyone's devices. The app is for the iTunes Music Festival coming up next month. These push apps are starting to get rather popular with Apple, and it seems that software updates are no longer needed for Apple to add apps to your Apple TV. The Music Festival kicks off September 1st, and now you can watch it right on your Apple TV. It's a pretty cool thing that they're able to do this, and I'm a fan of these music festivals, and I'm looking forward to seeing just how this all works in the Apple TV once the festival actually kicks off. Next up is an app for those screenwriters out there. A while ago, I mentioned Final Draft Writer is coming soon. Well, it's here, and it's priced a bit higher than my expected $10 to $20. It's priced at $30 as an introductory price that'll go up to $50 in just a few weeks. So what is Final Draft Writer? According to TUAW, the app has been in development at Final Draft for over 2 years, but they didn't want to release it until they got it right. The company actually even brought in a specialized team of iOS developers to port their proprietary Final Draft system to the iPad. What does version 1.0 of Final Draft Writer do? Well, it lets you create scripts from scratch right on your iPad. The app offers built-in templates for screenplays, stage plays, one-hour TV dramas, and sitcoms. Beyond simply creating screenplays, the app also offers several pro features found in the desktop version, including smart type technology that remembers your character names, scene headings, etc. Character highlighting allows you to call out specific character dialogues in the script, the ability to show active or collated revisions with colored pages, the ability to quickly switch from one revision to the next, a host of reports including cast, scene, and location reports, a specialized Final Draft keyboard header that easily lets you navigate or add script elements, and much, much more. Sharing features include AirPrint printing, Dropbox integration, and importing scripts through iTunes or email. This is a great addition to the writer's toolbox of apps. It may not replace the Mac OS X version, but in a few years it might. Just search for Final Draft in the App Store to find it. If you're a screenwriter, I would really recommend picking this up, as this is going to be most likely that your best option for the iPad. Next up, I just want to talk about this whole Tweetbot alpha mess that many are reporting on. So many are reporting that that Twitter's being evil, basically. As many of you know, Tweetbot is coming to the Mac, and the developers put out an alpha just a few weeks ago. As many of you also know, Twitter is limiting user tokens to apps, and that alpha users are basically using up tokens for free. Well, the developers decided to pull the alpha because of this. From the words of the developer, as some of you may have already noticed, the download link from the tweet for the Tweetbot for Mac alpha Tweetbot from Mac, Alpha no longer works. Twitter's latest API changes means now we have a large but finite limit on the number of user tokens we can get for Tweetbot for Mac. We have been working with Twitter over the last few days to try to work around this limit for the duration of the beta, but have been unable to come up with a solution that was acceptable to them. Because of this, we have decided it's best for us to pull the alpha. So this is what caused the firestorm of angry people on Twitter. I myself don't see this as a big thing and don't think you should either. Twitter is doing exactly what they said they would. Yes, it is terrible that we can't have betas anymore, but really, why in the world is the internet getting all freaked out by this? This is exactly what Twitter said they would do just a few weeks ago, and they're sticking to their word. I kind of respect companies that stick to their word. Tweetbot for Mac is expected out any week or perhaps any month now. So it's on its way, and you'll get the polished version when it is ready and available in the Mac App Store. Last up in App News is an update to the Facebook Camera app that is for iOS. So what is in this version 1.1? The Verge highlights the update by saying it introduces the ability to create new photo albums and add pictures to your existing galleries, or albums, as I would say. There are also a number of smaller optimizations included, such as the expanded social interactions. Overall, a nice update that takes advantage of the core code rewritten to the original Facebook app. Now, let's move on to some general Apple news. First up is a little fiasco with the whole self-checkout thing. This is when self-checkout goes really wrong and when Apple employees, I don't think, are doing the right thing. Here's the story of one New Jersey citizen who's at the Cube store in New York City. I pulled out my iPhone and realized it still showed the Pay Now button and not the receipt. I told them I had no intending of stealing. I've been in the store for an hour, and I'm still willing to purchase the headphones. That didn't satisfy the Apple Store staff. They said they see this all the time, and that they knew I had the intent to steal, and this was an easy excuse. When you successfully complete a transaction, the Apple Store app clearly states that to get a bag, just show a specialist your receipt. Finally, he says the Apple Store employee he spoke to didn't ask to see his receipt, compounding his own error with the app. And if it's your first time using the app, I might say you would not know what happens after you hit the Pay Now button. So that's another thing to keep in mind here. The police was called. It is unclear if he was actually arrested. I have used this Easy Pay option before and can say that I've never been asked to see my receipt when I leave the store, and the app certainly did not say to pick up a bag. Perhaps this is a new thing they are doing to make shoplifting less of a thing. Anyways, a really bad incident that I hope doesn't become a regular thing. Now, let's move out of that somewhat sad news to some rather exciting news. Apple's going to do some moving around with their executives by promoting two from within the company. According to Ars Technica, Apple's promoting two longtime employees to senior vice president status. Craig Federighi will serve as senior vice president of Mac software engineering, while Dan Riccio will take over as Senior Vice President of Hardware Engineering for Bob Mansfield. Mansfield announced in late June that he would be retiring from Apple. He's apparently decided to stay on with the company for the time being, continuing to work in hardware engineering. All three will report directly to Tim Cook. Federighi, who previously was Vice President of Mac Software Engineering, as part of this promotion, he will oversee Apple's Common Operating System engineering teams, which develop software shared across OS X and iOS platforms, as well as the other devices such as AirPort Wi-Fi base stations and various iPods. He previously worked at Next Computing with Steve Jobs, Apple, and Ariba before returning to Apple in 2009. Riccio, on the other hand, joined Apple in 1998 as a vice president of product design after Apple acquired his previous company, Racer Graphics. Apple's characterized him as a key contributor to all of Apple's hardware design since then, most recently as an instrumental contributor to the development of the iPad and its successive hardware redesigns. He will work with Bob Mansfield in this new role. It seems that Bob will stay with Apple, as I said, but in a role that will hopefully give him more time to spend with his family, which he ultimately wanted. All around, great news. Next up is a new benefit that you get if you decide to work for Apple, or Apple decides that they let you work for them. Apple is now giving employees free upgrades to the 50GB iCloud account. In the past, MobileMe and .Mac were free to employees. This is just one of the nice perks you get when you work for Apple. Next up, it appears the Genius Bar training manual got leaked. This one comes to us from those, I'd like to call them, you know, scumbag of a site known as Gizmodo. I hate to quote the site because I really do despise Gizmodo, but here is an instance where I feel obligated to quote them. According to this crappy site Gizmodo, the Genius Training Student Workbook we received is the company's most up-to-date, we're told, and runs a bizarre gamut of Apple do's and don'ts, down to specific words you're not allowed to use and lessons on how to identify and capitalize on human emotions. The manual could easily serve as the Humanity 101 textbooks for a robot university, but at Apple, it's an exhaustive manual to understanding customers and making them happy. Sales, it turns out, take a backseat to good vibes. Almost the entire volume is dedicated to emphasizing, consoling, cheering up, and correcting various Genius Bar confrontations. The assumption, it seems, is that a happy customer is a customer who will buy things, and no matter how much the Apple Store comes off as some kind of smiling, like-minded computer commune, it's still a store above all, just one that puts out an enormous amount of effort behind getting inside your head. So that's Gizmodo's take on all of this. So yeah, that is the vibe I get when I visit a Genius Bar. I, in general, want to buy more Apple products as having visited the Genius Bar and getting some stuff fixed. When you get free stuff from the Genius Bar and low-cost repairs, it does have that really nice effect on you. You really do want to buy more stuff. That effect is lessening as the Genius Bar becomes more of a place that doesn't emphasize this ideal as much as it once did. Hopefully they will return to their roots. But anyways, yeah, there's some rather interesting things at this link that is in the show notes at iWakePodcast.com. Now, let's move on to a quick mention about the next iPhone. If you're hoping for NFC, well, think again. Jim Dalrymple gave his prophetic yep, corroborating a post by Amantech, who shared why they don't think NFC will be included. So yeah, no NFC on the next iPhone. Jim is one of the few I trust with these sort of things, and that leads me to believe this is a true statement. Last up today is a little How to Do by Macworld. Do you have that crappy mobile share data plan by AT&T that probably costs you more money than it should? Well, you are in luck. AT&T will let you add your iPad to that plan. They'll add an activation fee if you want to do it, though. So, activation fees have never been a thing with iPad data plans, and this would be a first time to my memory. So, here's how it works. According to the AT&T customer service rep Macworld spoke with, the iPad can be added to any AT&T mobile share plan for the $10 a month per fee per device charge. However, there are a few catches. First, according to the man on the other end of the phone, you would need a new micro SIM for the iPad. You would need to visit an AT&T retail store to get the card. But if I wanted to wait, AT&T could send me one. Second, since this would be considered an activation of a new device in my account, I'd be charged a $36 one-time activation fee. So while it's nice to know that there is a way to add an AT&T iPad to a shared data pool, it's an inelegant process spiked with extra fees. Yeah, so to use mobile share data, you have activation fees plus month-to-month, every single month bills per device. This is a rather crappy thing. Inelegant is one word you could use to describe AT&T. I'd stay clear of these shared data plans as they aren't good for the consumer. They're only good for companies making a boatload of money off of you. Stay clear of these things. Well, that is the show for both Monday and Tuesday, and with it coming up on 15 minutes, I think the job was accomplished fairly well here today. With that said, thanks for listening or watching to today's show, and that's what's going on in the Apple world today. You can find the show notes over at iWakePodcast.com. I also do videos over at youtube.com/TCHATEN. And finally, if you'd like access to the script as well as bonus content, head on over to iWakePodcast.com/again. Once again, that is iwakepodcast.com/again. Thanks for watching or listening. I'll talk to everyone again on Friday. Have a great day.